to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for September 24th, 2023, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost by the Reverend Dr. Daniel Grossom.
After church last Sunday, a group of us went out to have lunch together at a local restaurant. The place had their QR code laminated into the tabletop surface, which some of us scanned with our phones to read the menu, place our orders, and pay for the meal with a few clicks. 10 minutes later, our food magically arrived at our table. It was at this point that one of the older members of the group said, "I really don't know how to live in this world." He was overwhelmed, confused, and rather intrigued, all at the same time, by this new reality, a world where you order food from your phone, pay for it, and have it appear before you. It seemed like an amazing and baffling new world. I find myself similarly baffled and intrigued by the world we hear about in today's gospel reading, a world in which our expectations of value and equity are turned upside down. And we hear about another world, a deeper world, the world that lives in the kingdom of God. Jesus spends a lot of his time talking about what the kingdom of God is like and how to live inside that kingdom. And today, to illustrate the point, he tells yet another parable, a story that's really intended to shock the audience into a new insight by telling a story that has a very surprise ending. So he tells this story in six scenes about an ancient Palmasan who owns a vineyard and about several groups of people he hires to work in that vineyard. The first couple scenes are pretty ordinary. He hires people for the usual daily wage, enough to feed your family for the day. That's much more than what we would call minimum wage, but not enough to make you rich. Then he goes out later and hires some more people. And still, the story is going on pretty much as you expect, to the point where his first listeners are probably thinking, all right, you know, get on with it. Then comes the payout at the end of the workday. The vineyard owner's pay is generous, and he pays those who work only a little while the usual daily wage. There's surprise number one. If I got a day's pay for an hour of work, I'd be surprised and overwhelmed and overjoyed. And then the next scene, the vineyard owner pays those hired first their usual daily wage. It's what they agreed to, it's what you expect for a day's work, and it's enough to make sure their family has food tomorrow. And there is unexpected surprise number two. They don't get any extra. And so when the last get hired and got the usual daily wage, the first began to assume, well, we'll get even more. But those assumptions we make are the way we plan resentments for the future. And so their resentment comes out in that final scene. Their envy of others has become more important to them than the fact that they have been treated justly. All the workers started out in the same situation. They all have skills in stomping grapes, picking them, picking out the stems, straining and bottling the juice. But somewhere along the way, they forgot that by day's end, they were all the same, all of them equal, and all rewarded equally by the vineyard owner. In the alternative world that is God's kingdom, God's generosity means that everybody starts out and ends up the same. We all have gifts to offer, and all of us are needed to work in the kingdom. And in the end, we all end up the same. We are all welcomed. While some children are brought to church for their baptism in a gorgeous gown passed down through generations by the family, the baptismal ritual is the same for everyone. The same words, the same water, the same oil. The family's income doesn't determine how much pageantry and ritual we lay on the kid. Everybody is cleansed from sin and started out in their new life in Christ. Everybody receives the same grace, and everybody's reminded of the same love of God. And later on in life, we once again appear in front of this altar in a garment, this time with the same pall covering our urn or casket, a visible symbolic garment that clothes everyone equally, because we are all equally God's beloved children. Everyone is reminded of the same promise of eternal life with God. Everyone is reminded that no matter how life was lived or how long it was lived, the same grace is available to all of us, and we are all enfolded in the same love. And in between those two appearances before this altar, we pray for our daily bread, not for an abundance of bread, but that we might have enough for today. And that prayer is our daily bread. It's plural. I may say it, but the words are very corporate. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for everyone in the kingdom, that we all might have what we need, because in this life we are all in this kingdom together. And in between those altar appearances, we try very hard to live in the world Jesus calls us to, a world in which the leaders are, in fact, the servants, a world where service is more important than possessions. We try to live in the world that our baptismal covenant calls us to, a world that is rooted in the love of God for everyone. And first, because we cannot be a people of radical love and deep forgiveness alone, the very first promise we make was to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and in prayer. We promise to be a community that's rooted in scripture, in fellowship, worship, and in praying together. When we fail to be that community, we promise to repent and return to God. We promise to seek and serve Christ in all people, to respect the dignity of every human being, to proclaim the gospel by both what we do and what we say, and to work hard for justice and peace. When we keep all those promises made in baptism, really keep them, then we mirror the world Jesus came to usher in. But we cannot do that alone. We're not meant to do that alone. We've been given each other, the whole baptized body of Christ. We're together. We're part of the power that deep love has to try and work and change the world.